And there is something about the weird tension between civilization, colonialism, and imperialism that does get worked out in very vulgar terms in a lot of the Marxist left, which this rhymes with, but it actually isn't the same thing if you go through it slowly. But I just don't know if he wants you to go through it slowly. There's a certain amount of, like, I don't know if he wants you to really pull this threads out this detailedly. Maybe he does. It's hard for me to tell from the way he's writing. And I also can't tell from the translation either. So, like, you know,
I was trying to compare them. But
maybe the point is you have to read Dugin in the original Russian.
Honestly, there's something to that. I'm very sympathetic to that, not just about Dugin, but about this basic argument that you can always get a sense of what is being proposed. It's worth translating pamphlets and books and so on. But sometimes you can mostly can only get the full meaning in the original language. Because every translation is going to be different, and some translations are going to be 70% good and 70% whatever. You have to read like multiple translations of Capital before you really understand.
Yeah,
that's just like,
and you can
pick examples like poetry or dramatic. Yeah, dramatic.
I would say even worse with Hegel, even more than with Marx. Because so many of the Hegelian, I call them puns. I don't mean that they're funny. But like the Hegelian double play on words, like in English, you have to pick whether you're translating them as spiritual or rational. And in the original German, they are clearly both. Like Zen, for example, both has a religious and a non-religious meaning in Hegel.
I was trying to compare the standard, like the Miller translation of the phenomenology. Mm-hmm. And then the new one, the Fuss and Dobbins, which is actually, I think, eminently more readable. But until I know German, I won't know which one is, more faithful to whatever. And I don't want to read both because it's not the most fun stuff to read.
Honestly, Jason, I don't even know that if you learn modern German, it would get you there. Because I have read Hegel in German and I hit things that I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And I go back and I'm like, oh, I have to know this pun in Swabian dialect from 200 years ago. Like, fuck.
I think it's worth reading all kinds of stuff all the time. That's why I would read this. Not because this is the missing piece of my ideology, but because some thoughts are going to permeate in the world anyways. I want to understand them.
Well, this is one thing where I'm sympathetic to some of these like weird left-right hybrid people where I will give them a little bit of credit. You do need to read right-winger sympathetically, and simply not engaging them does not actually get you out of the problem. In fact, it just makes you completely blind when they throw something at you that's going to like sound like something you already believe in. And then you're just going to be like, what? Mm-hmm.
I think I've said this before, but it's my favorite. The best thing that who's the guy's name? The Oregon guy.
Wilhelm Reich.
Yeah, really. The only I think very valuable observation from Wilhelm Reich is that when there would be a rally and communist agitator would stand up and he would give a speech, which was very moving if you already agreed, because he would talk about the forces of production and the movement of history and development and so on, and then the Nazi speaker would get up and he would speak to all kinds of things, which to the communist seems absurd, but to a bunch of people, all different kinds of people for different reasons, felt their, this heartstring plucked or that heartstring plucked or this vague concern, which is not quite so easily definable as the communist guy says. The Nazi was able to talk about these things that the communists were just like not schooled in it because they weren't debating. They weren't, they weren't engaging with the mystical or whatever,
Mm-hmm.
And
turns out
to have mattered a lot.
Even on something like workers' dignity, communists would be like, well, that's too abstract. We're not going to use that. And part of me is sympathetic to that as an analytic. And you guys will hear me talk about this with justice a lot. That's my key term that I focus in on so much. But I actually realize that if I don't have an answer for justice, I'm at like, fuck, man, who's going to listen to me? But
This is
at the same time,
Oh, sorry. I was just saying when Mao was talking about the mass line versus the party line, this is kind of why. I mean, I'm not a big Mao. I'm not a fan, whatever. But there's some interesting things in there like that. You have to be able to know how to, well, dare I say, talk to people in a language that they speak while also holding in your own head what you would like to say.
I think of this a lot when I read Mao, and I read Mao, and I'll read Mao, and I'm like, this sounds like fucking Taoist folk wisdom, or it sounds very dry and stupid. Like his stuff on practice, like, you know, through practice. I'm like, well, what the fuck does that actually mean?
Nothing. Yeah.
But then I'm thinking about, like, okay, but he's talking to illiterate peasants. And I don't mean that to be like, oh, they're stupid. That's not my point. It's like, but he's trying to meet them at a vocabulary level. And and we're also reading it in English, which either can be both over-exoticized in translation or under-exoticized in translation simultaneously with Chinese in particular. So it's like, it's hard to know even, like I've often said, like you'll hear liberalism refer to some things in Mao where you're just like, what? Like what, but right. What's the context in Chinese? Like, anyway, back to this. I mean, we're recognizing this groundlessness. Various decisions can also follow. Either we try to find a syncretic model of unification of both civilizations, at least in theory, into a general system, or admit the correctness of other civilization. Okay, we got a twist. So we're talking about civilization as a singular concept. Now we got civilizations as a multiple concept, or the correctness of other civilizations. But he's already been speaking as if the only conception of civilization prior is Western civilization. And so this is where I'm not sure this is a bait and switch, but it does seem strategically very subtle in a way that makes my hackle go up. Because we haven't admitted that there are other valid concepts of civilization really at all in this reaccount of what it is. In other words, we are dealing with the transfer of previous tribal ethnic groups into a higher level of generalization. See also the it is so fascinating to me how much I can compare David Graeber to Alexander Dugin. Just to piss both sides off, but like
when I made my little quip earlier, and you said, "Well, David Graeber does that all the time with the past." I think maybe there's a plausible thesis that David Graeber was a conservative. Maybe you can make that. Maybe we can make that argument somehow. That's for
He was incoherent. But anyway, inclusive.
I think that Graeber was kind of like Dugin. He's like grasping at things and often quite blindly.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's worthless though.
No, I don't think so either.
Even if I spend a whole lot of my life deconstructing, the dawn of everything as being like vulgar as fuck and basically hyper voluntarism, actually in a similar way that this is. But
there is a rational kernel too.
Right.
But even if it's not very big.
The way that I read the sloppiness of the two, Graeber and Dugin, the way that now I've read obviously Graeber before and now we're reading Dugin, the muddled content, throwing everything up against the wall. It's like an attempt to grasp hope out of darkness and despair. From a personalistic sort of like individual sort of way, I feel like both Graeber and Dugin are attempting to like excavate through philosophy or anthropology some sort of like negative critique or like positive characteristics of the past and the present that might give them hope to continue living, not jumping off a fucking bridge. Yeah. It's very Christian in that way, right?
Yeah, it very much is.
All right, this is easy to recognize in the following striking examples. Greeks considered themselves a civilization, numbered everyone else among barbarians. The origin of the word barbarian is an onomatopoeic pejorative, signifying whose speech makes no sense and is a bundle of animal sounds. Many tribes have similar relationships to members of different tribes. Not understanding their language, they often think the others have no language at all. They do not consider them people. From here, incidentally, it is derived from the Slavic tribal name Nepsi, Germans, that we call Nemi, dumb, silent, mute, those who do not know what anyone is calling himself a man should know the Russian language. Mm-hmm. Among the ancient Persians, who represented precisely a civilization with pretensions to universality in the form of their Mazdean religion, which is funny, these to go in here. I'm like, dude, you're a Christian. Like, what do you want? This was expressed even more clearly. The vision into the Iran, the people, and the Turan, the demons, was drawn on the level of religion, cults, rites, and ethics. I mean, there's an interesting, however, I want to talk about the Parsis for a bit, because there's an interesting tension in ancient Iranian culture between universalism, which is there. Like, they didn't require people to convert to their religion, and ultimate particularism, which is also there. You can't convert to Zoroastrianism and most forms of Zoroastrianism.
Mm. Right.
Mm. So it's like a weird hybrid state, kind of like Judaism, except Judaism you can convert, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it depends on who you ask. Certain sects of Judaism won't recognize converts.
Mm.
Which one won't accept any converts?
Well, I guess you might know more about this than I do, but I feel like if you're Orthodox, there's only one. I guess I had heard, and maybe I understand this incorrectly, that Orthodox Judaism you can't just convert into.
You can, but you can't do it without a 3-year process and being denied 3 times. And
mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me explain that a little bit more, though. There are heraldi who see converts as lesser, even in Orthodox Judaism, that is heresy. That's an actual heresy to, like,
right.
When you're given a Jewish name, you're supposed to be like as if you were always Jewish. And that's also why you can't revert. But I will say in practice, there are a lot of ultra Orthodox who do not accept converts.
Mm.
So,
right. But that's different. That's important. Officially, right, yes.
Officially, there's a conversion. Right. And interestingly, before Christianity and Islam, Judaism was easier to convert to than after.
Mm.
It's
interesting. So, you're seeing, at least from what banter online I'm seeing, basically like two Judaisms, like a new Judaism arising in the diaspora community, which defines itself against Zionism, and then a Israeli Judaism, which encompasses like Haredi, Orthodox, and Reformed also, which is like stands opposed to the diaspora. I think that on top of all the other chaotic and violent things that's happened over the last year, I feel like we've seen a definitive split within Judaism between a sort of like deist, culturalist, diaspora Judaism on the one hand, and then the Zionist one on the other. And it's fascinating to watch that happen, like, in real time.
Yeah. Zionism was initially a totally secular philosophy.
I know, not anymore though.
No, it has changed. And there, Yasha Ravine makes an argument, and I'll give Yasha credit. I don't think he's anti-Semitic because he's Jewish. That there is a tension about the relationship to land in Judaism that you can't just throw away, because the land of the people is fundamental to the religion and all aspects, even in the ultra-Orthodox. However, my pushback on him is, so as the diaspora, because all Judaism after the fall of the Second Temple is diaspora Judaism. Yeah. So it's like, it's a fundamental tension in the religion. And it's kind of like the particularity versus universalism in Christianity. Do I get mad if my Christian friends don't try to convert me? Should I, since they believe that if they don't, I'm going to hell? Mm. Like, how do you feel about that?
Mm. Like, well, there are some contradictions which only could be resolved by schism or by reformation, which means religious war.
Right. Which is why, by proxy to religious thought, I've always been like, hey guys, we can't all get along on the left for reasons that actually are substantive, not just about circular firing squads. Like some of us do have, there has to be eventually a line where you're like, you're no longer in.
Mm.
Like, and
I draw that line closer to myself every day, but you guys are in it.
Wait, and